Are you looking for a new math curriculum? CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animation, synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray, make learning math easy and effective. Favorably reviewed in Kathy Duffy's 102 Top Picks and the Old Schoolhouse Crew Review, the lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today to start your free trial. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast and welcome back to part two of my conversation with Pat Roy. We are having a great time talking about creation and God's just God's word and how to teach our kids truth and how to help them understand what they believe and why they believe. So Pat, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks for having me back.
Yes, yes. Have you ever heard of the book Already Gone by Ken Ham?
Yes, yes.
That's such a good book. Have you read it?
It is. Yeah, you know, I've read it in different sections. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that talks a lot about this. You know, it talks about why kids are leaving the church, if you will, why they're walking away from their faith going into the college years. And Ken talks about how the problem most of the time is because their foundation hasn't been set for them. And I think that's where, as homeschool families, that's really what it comes down to, is that we have to set that foundation for our kids of who is God? What is God's word? What does God's word say? Why does it say it? And do you believe it? And if you say you believe it, how can you defend it? Which is, of course, called apologetics. Mm-hmm. And teaching our kids to really understand their faith, not just say that they believe because we believe as their parents, but because they really own their faith on their own. So I would love for you to talk about how, as Christian parents, and especially as Christian homeschool parents, because we have such an opportunity day in and day out to really teach our kids the word of God, how can a Christian parent go about really setting that foundation, that very, very solid foundation for our kids to understand what they believe and why they believe it?
Well, Yvette, I love the homeschool movement because I feel like parents investing to their kids is so huge. Now, one of the things that I've learned recently, which was kind of shocking, and I don't know what the statistic is, but I've come to realize that most Christian parents don't sit down and have a ongoing daily Bible reading with their kids. Mm. And to me, that's just shocking. I think that that's so huge. I think we need to sit down every day. It's great to have both mom and dad there, I think, if that's possible. I know a lot of times there's work and jobs and that type of stuff. But I think that's so important, is to sit down at some time and read through the scriptures together. Yeah. I think the other thing that's very important is, I think a lot of times when we're reading the scriptures, we read them like fairy tales, right? Especially when they're younger. We're talking about talking about the great Exodus. We're talking about all these amazing things. And I think it comes off a lot of we're teaching stories. I think it's so important that we teach the Bible seriously to our students. This is an actual account. This really took place. Yeah. These are real accounts that took place. And one of the cool things that I, with my kids, and kids are getting older now, so it's just about the time for me to see which direction they're going to head in. And I pray that they're going to stick with the Lord all the way through. But one of the things that we've tried to do is try to always show them that these are real. So in other words, you're reading the account of Jericho. Is it have an archaeological book with you and go, hey, look, here's the actual site that they've discovered. And look, the walls fell inward. And look, the Israelites could go right up into the city. And guess what? They found grain that was still in the pots because it was harvest time during that account. And you go through and show, hey, this is a real account with a real place and real people, and there is real stuff still left behind. It's also fun to go through and talk about, when you talk about David and look at the different artifacts that list David as a real king that was in Israel. And I think it's just important that we don't talk about the Bible stories, but we actually talk about the account. Hmm. And of course, there's just incredible evidence for a worldwide flood. I think that that's important. As we're talking about the flood account, you can talk about layers. You can talk about how dinosaurs were killed and buried very quickly. I mean, there's so many things that we can do to show our kids that this is not just a bunch of stories, but the real thing that actually took place.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yes, I agree completely. Talk about, you talked about college campuses and how you've gone on to many secular college campuses. And I'm curious to know, because this is something I think a lot about for some reason. And we've talked to a lot of Christian leaders on both ends of this, that nowadays there are a lot of Christian colleges, and I'm going to say quote unquote Christian colleges, because they say they're Christian colleges, but then you send your kid to them thinking, oh, they're going to a Christian university. Of course, they're going to be taught truth. And then sadly, you find out that there are a lot of professors there who are not saved. They are not firmly planted on the truth of God's word, and they're not teaching right. it in these right. so-called Christian universities. Right. Now, some are certainly, right. But have you seen that to be true as well? And how do we prepare our kids? You know, we've got a 14-year-old who's, man, so quickly just entering, you know, into adulthood. I cannot believe how fast it's going. How do we prepare our kids for what they're going to come up against in the college years, whether they actually go to college or don't?
Well, Yvette, it's true. I have actually been on a lot of college campuses. I told you that I took a microphone and a camera out to the secular colleges. I've actually gone to some Christian ones. Mm-hmm. And boy, I have found all kinds of things too there where they are teaching evolution, and it is amazing. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's important for us to train our kids and not just say, well, they're off to a Christian university, they're going to be fine, right? Because a lot of Christian universities are teaching evolution. They're teaching that the biblical account can't be trusted. It's not literal when it talks about creation. And so you've really got to be careful. So how do you prepare your kids? Maybe I'll just tell you a story real quick and then maybe just
give
like a couple
stories.
Ideas after that. Okay. So probably about, I don't know, quite a few years ago, I was teaching at one of the Teach Them Diligently workshops, and I was talking on this very subject. And when I was all done, there was a line of people that wanted to ask questions. And I could see about three ladies down the line, there was a woman that was literally crying as she was standing in the line. And I'm thinking as a speaker, okay, dear Lord, please give me wisdom. So I was talking to this person, but praying for her because I could see she was getting closer and closer. And it was like, Lord, please give me wisdom to know how to answer her. Well, by the time she got up, she was just sobbing. And she said, Pat, I've got to tell you a story. We're a homeschool family. I've trained my kids all the way through about creation. I taught them creation apologetics. We used all of the Answers in Genesis material and all of the ICR material and the CMI material. And then my daughter graduated from homeschool and she began working at a zoo. And within 3 months, she became an evolutionist. Mm. And then she rejected the entire scriptural account and is no longer calling herself a Christian. She said, where did I go wrong? Well, Yvette, I'm thinking, why is she asking me? I'm just a man, right? What? I don't know. But I started asking some questions. I said, you taught creation. She goes, oh, yes. I said, great. Did you ever teach evolution? Oh, no. Mm-hmm. We never taught evolution. Well, Yvette, I started thinking about that. I think we've got to do that. I think we've got to teach evolution, and we've got to teach it the best we can without making a straw man out of it.
Sure.
And then we've got to teach what's wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's super important. Now, here's one thing that I have noticed over and over again as I've talked to homeschool parents, and trust me, I've talked to a lot of homeschool parents whose kids are no longer following the Lord anymore. I think this is what happens in the homeschool movement a lot of times. We teach that evolutionists are dumb, they're stupid, they're evil, they're out to get you. And then later on, they go to a Christian university, maybe where the professor is an evolutionist. Maybe he's a Christian and a really nice person, and he's a really kind person and a very smart person. And it really throws them for a loop because they say, now, wait a minute. I grew up hearing that evolutionists were all evil and bad and stupid and had ridiculous ideas, right? And then all of a sudden, they start hearing some of the more seriously put forward evidences for evolution, and it's coming from a very nice person who's very intelligent, and all of a sudden, they don't know what to do with that. And mm-hmm. so I think it's very important as homeschool parents that we don't teach that evolution is stupid, that we don't teach that evolutionists are stupid, that they're evil. They're just unsaved people, right? Right. They're unsaved. They need the Lord just like we do. And I think that's very important to teach our students is that there are smart, smart people out there who believe in evolution. And then I think it's important that we don't teach a straw man of evolution. I think we need to teach the real deal and then show why it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And back it up with scripture.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great because so often we want to shelter our kids, especially as homeschool families. You know, we want to protect them. We want to put that wall around them and protect them from what's on the outside. You know, whether it's homosexuality or abortion or whatever the thing might be, you know, we don't want our precious children and their minds to, you know, be somehow corrupted in learning these things, but they're going to learn it. I mean, they're going to hear about it one way or another. Right. And, right. you know, I had the privilege of getting to talk to a group of moms. It was a MOPS group. And it was so neat. And I love talking to young moms, especially. And one of the things I said was, talk with your kids. You know, they actually asked the question, how do we have a good relationship with our kids as teenagers? You know, is that possible? And I said, yes. I said, but one of the things you have to do is always be willing to talk with them. When they ask mm-hmm. questions, always be willing to answer and just have open dialogue with them all the time and let them know that they can come to you with any question, with any concern that they have, and you'll answer it for them. You know, my girls have come to me with all kinds of questions, and some of them have been a little bit shocking. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to answer this one. But then I realize if I don't answer it, they're going to seek the answer somewhere else. And I want them to be comfortable enough to come to myself and to come to Garrett and ask us anything. And even if that means, you know, they're struggling maybe with their faith or what they believe, come to us and say, you know, Mom, I'm really struggling. I don't understand this. Please help me through this. But letting them know and just being honest with them, you know, and teaching them, yeah, you know, this is what evolutionists believe. This is what atheists believe. But this is what the Word of God says. And
right. Exactly. Yvette, you know, that conversation with the lady, when I jumped back on the airplane and I was flying home, I was thinking about my own kids. And so I started a tradition. And again, parents, I don't know, you've got to pray about whether this is a good idea for your family or not. I don't want to give you bad advice. But one of the things that I started was a tradition with my girls that whenever we're at a public venue mm-hmm. and there's worldviews being presented, I take them on the worldviews tour is what I call it. And my girls know that it's going to happen. Basically, I take each one of my girls one at a time and I take them to the different tables or booths that they have. And basically, I'll walk up to maybe a New Age booth and I'll say, hi, my name's Pat and this is my daughter, Summer, and we're born again Christians. However, I would love for you to take 2 minutes and tell her what you believe and why it's important mm-hmm. and how you know it's true. And then I'll let them have 2 minutes to share why they believe what they believe. And then usually we'll end up by a tradition of maybe going out to lunch or something like that and then talking through what they were saying, what the Bible says about it, and what places were they right and what places were they wrong. And I'm just praying that that's helping a little bit before they leave our home someday to have already gotten to talk to a lot of people with other worldviews, but under my supervision. So I'm mm-hmm. still able to control the conversation a little bit and still able to let them think through it a little bit. And that's been good. We've been doing that for several years. And again, it's kind of become a family tradition. Whenever we're at the state fair or something, the girls know that they're going to be going around to all the different worldview booths that are there at the fair. So
I think that's fantastic. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is going on now. Join us for new live interactive sessions every week. You'll enjoy practical homeschooling encouragement, advice, and resources from your favorite homeschool leaders. Register today to hear from Kirk Cameron, Heidi St. John, Sam Sorbo, Rebecca Spooner, Miki Addison, Todd Wilson, and many more. Enjoy a free preview over 9 hours of content at homegrowngeneration.com or register for lifetime access to the entire conference for just $20. Go to homegrowngeneration.com today.
Hey guys, this is Brooklyn Hampton, daughter of the host of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Do you love this show? Then stop listening. That's right. Pause the show right now and go leave a review on iTunes or in your favorite podcast app. Let others know how much you love it. Don't worry, I'll wait. Did you do it? Great. Now back to the show.
I love that idea. I love what you were talking about before we went on the break of, you know, just opening your girls' eyes up to different worldviews, because it's important. It's important that they know those things. It's important that they're aware of what's going on, because whether they go to college or, you know, go get a job at a zoo, you know, like the one lady's daughter, they're going to be surrounded by people who don't believe what they believe. And here's the thing that I just keep realizing more and more is that everyone is searching for truth, because mm-hmm. it's in us. Everyone needs hope. Everyone needs truth. And some people just haven't yet discovered that the only truth is found in God's word. And so they're looking for it everywhere. And what a great opportunity to be able to witness to those people. And,
That is true, because a lot of times they'll share their worldview with us. Uh-huh. And then I let my girls ask questions, by the way. But usually a lot of times when I'm thanking them, they'll say, well, wait a minute, what do you guys believe?
Yeah.
We'll go, well, we're glad you asked.
Right. Yes, God can use anything, anything like that. So that's awesome. Talk about a gap year. You had talked about how you had met with a few students and they were sharing insights on the importance of a gap year, and how that tied in to some of the students that you had interviewed on college campuses. Talk about that.
Well, Yvette, my younger daughter and I were just down on a mission trip. We had to cross across the closed border of Mexico, but it was fun. We were down there with a group of students, and I got to talk to them. I always like to talk to students to find out what's going on. Most of them were homeschoolers. They shared some things with me that I had never thought of before. And as I spoke with them, I began to realize maybe it's a solution to some of the things that I've been dealing with trying to reach students. Basically, these students told me that they had finished their homeschooling early. They had a plan to finish a year earlier than they were supposed to. And then basically, they took a year to pursue the things that they were passionate about. And basically, what I found out was that a lot of them thought that they were passionate about one thing, but then God, in the middle of their gap year, actually changed their heart and actually pointed them the direction of he was really calling them to.
Hmm.
Yvette, I just hear that from one student. I heard that from quite a few of the students that I was with down there in Mexico. And I really began thinking, Yvette, I think this is what happens a lot of times. I think Christian parents want the best for their students. And so what they do is maybe sophomore year, they start looking for schools, right? And then they go out and start visiting campuses later. And then it's the applications and it's trying to get scholarships. And then it's off and into school, right? But it really hit me that a lot of times we're so busy trying to watch out for their, I guess, success in this life that we forget to let them find out what they need for success in the next life.
Mm.
And for me, it was really amazing to talk to these students and hear their heart, that God literally changed their heart on the direction that they were going to go. And then most of them did start a Christian college after that, but now they had the direction. And it really made me think, boy, we've got Christian parents send their kids off instantly to college. Those kids aren't quite sure what they want to do yet. They really haven't checked in with the Lord. They're studying whatever degree they've got. And then 3 to 6 months later, I meet them on campus with a microphone and they're telling me why they rejected their faith, right? And yet, as I talk to these students, just taking a year off and really pursuing God with their whole heart and saying, God, what do you want for my life? And then they got direction, and then they headed out to school. I don't know. To me, it was kind of interesting to hear that whole different model than, I guess, traditionally a lot of us pursue.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great idea, because after, you know, even in high school, how many times do you come across a high school student? You know, usually I would say, you know, starting in 10th grade. I don't think typically a freshman will be asked, but, you know, 10th, 11th, and especially 12th grade, of course, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to study in college? Where are you going to go? What are you going to go to trade school? You know, people always wanting answers from these
right,
kids, and there's
exactly.
so much pressure on them to figure out, okay, well, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, what do I do for the rest of my life? And they're so, at that time, they're still so focused on just getting through high school that how can they even really figure out what the Lord has, and some do. I mean, you know, certainly there are lots of kids who the Lord just has put it on their hearts. They know exactly what God's calling them to. But yeah, the gap year is interesting. I never had even heard of that concept until, you know, a couple of years ago. Actually, I don't even think it was a real thing
right.
until a few
right.
years ago.
Well, and it makes sense. Yvette, like you said, some students do have a calling on their life early and they know what the Lord wants from them. But I think a lot of them don't. And we're so busy rushing them off to the next stage that, well, how dangerous is that? We need to slow down and say, what is God calling you to? He's put passions, he's put desires, he's put talents and abilities into your life. What things is he calling you to? And boy, that just seems like such an important stage with our students, is letting them know what direction God's calling them to before we start sending them off to school, I think, at least.
Yeah, I think so, too. We are almost out of time. But really quickly, before we end, you mentioned it at the beginning of the first episode, and I want to just kind of circle back around to this. You are putting together right now, it's a workbook called Creating an Eternal Story, and it's a step-by-step workbook that you're creating on how to guide people through the entire storytelling process. And I know you've got a kind of a summer challenge coming up for, and is this specifically for kids or is it for just anybody?
Yvette, it's actually for, I would say, preteens through adults. And basically, what's happening is I've had a book for a long time called Creating an Eternal Story. And finally, you know, during this time of being quarantined and everybody's inside, I finally said, you know, I'm going to finish that book. And so recently I just finished it. Basically, it's a result of all of the scripts that I wrote for Jonathan Park, and basically just learned a lot about storytelling during that whole process. And so here at Firmly Planted, I've been teaching homeschool classes on storytelling. And I finally said, you know, let's get this book done. And then once I started working through the book, I began to realize, well, wouldn't it be fun to put together a summer campaign where a whole bunch of us get together and just encourage one another? So basically what we've done is we've got a Facebook group, and you can join that. And basically we're going to take the different steps through storytelling throughout the summer. And our goal is to have it so that if you begin your story, you'll be done with it by the end of September. Okay, so if somebody's out there who's always wanted to write, or somebody who's got half a book written, or you've got an idea that you just got to get out there, come and check it out. It's creationquest.net, and then you can click on 2020 Summer of Storytelling, and we'll all work as a group to finish our stories this summer.
Very cool. And we'll put links to that. And it's cool because the way you have it structured is you've got it actually a schedule. It looks on your website like you've started it on May 18th. So people have until now to May. And not that they have to go by your schedule, but it would be fun to do it together and kind of have some kind of accountability. But you start on May 18th and you have step one, and then May 25th, step two, and you go on all the way until September 30th, which is where they finish the first draft of their story. And so this is such a fantastic thing. And this, it seems to me that it could be used for writing a book, writing a script, you know, many different things that people would write. And so this
right,
is
Yvette, here's what I've noticed is that most authors start on a book and they make it about halfway through and they either get bored with it or most of them don't know where to go. And so what's different about this is we are going to completely walk through your entire story. We're going to talk about what act one looks like, act two, act three. We're going to talk about character arcs. We're going to talk about what is your inciting moment. We're going to come up with all of that so you know every single scene in your story before you even write the first sentence.
Yeah.
And I've just found that I think people are successful when they do it that way, because then they get halfway through and they know where they're going. Matter of fact, this is really crazy. A lot of people try and write their book in a chronological order. Well, think about this. If you know what every single scene in your story is going to be, you can start with the scene that you're the most passionate about, write that one, and then find out what you're passionate about next. Think about that. That means all the way through the storytelling process, you are passionate about every single scene, and that makes a complete difference. So that's what we're going to be doing together. Like you said, we've got different goals that we're going to try and hit, and on our Facebook group, we're going to be encouraging one another, sharing ideas and brainstorming with one another.
That's awesome. Well, we will put links to that for sure. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize that whether you're writing a book or a movie or, you know, just a TV show, whatever it is, it all really is the same thing. You know, even a documentary, you know, we're working on Schoolhouse Rocked. It's a documentary on homeschooling. And even that, you know, we have act one, act two, act three. And
exactly. I mean, you're telling a story.
We're telling a story. We're telling a story about homeschoolers around the world. And so it's not like we just went and interviewed a bunch of random people and are going to throw it up on a screen. We actually have an entire storyline that goes around it. We've got the beginning, the middle, the end. I mean, so yeah, it's a fantastic
I can't wait to see that. That's going to be so
I can't wait
exciting.
To see that either. We're anxious for this thing to be done. Anyway, thank you, Pat. It has been such a pleasure to have you on with us today. I so appreciate your time and just your wisdom that you've been able to share with us. And thank you for all that you continue to do. You know, you're one of those people who, again, I just look at it and I'm so grateful for your obedience to the Lord and your willingness to say yes to Him when He's called you to do something, because I know that what you do is not easy. And you've had a lot of road bumps, but God has blessed you and blessed so many thousands, hundreds of thousands of families because of your ministry and what you have been willing to do. So thank you so much for what you do.
Yvette, thank you. And likewise, you and Garrett as well. I know God has called you to a big project, and I can't wait until God blesses families all around the world with that. So I know you guys are doing the same thing. So I'm excited about your work as well.
Well, thank you. Keep praying about it. We're getting there slowly but surely, but it's all
I know.
God's
when
hands.
You're in the middle of it, it never seems like it's going to be done, does it?
Oh, it's like the longest pregnancy in the world.
There is an end.
There is an end. Thank you, Pat. And thank you guys for listening. We love you guys so much. And we are so grateful that you have chosen to spend part of your day with us. Again, we would love it if you would go on iTunes and leave a review for the podcast. That really helps more people to find the podcast and learn about what we're doing. And our greatest desire is not to get high numbers, but to reach a mass amount of people for the gospel. So please continue sharing with your friends, leave reviews for the podcast, and we will be back with you next week. Have a fantastic week. Bye.